Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 31. "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold a great image. This image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay." Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, there was no place found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king." Heavenly Father, I pray again for my listeners that you would enable them to understand the Word of God. And Lord, help me, this poor, pitiful preacher, to rightly divide the Word of God. And as the man said, we would see Jesus. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Before we get into the message, I want to give you an update on Old Paths Tabernacle and also about Haiti. We had our first service last week, and I'm very thankful that the presence of God met us. I preached from the book of 2 Kings chapter 7 with the four lepers. They were starving, and they went to the host of the Syrians and found that God had scared them away. And they began to go into one tent and the other tent, eating and drinking, and finding some bit of gold or something, and carrying it off and hiding it. But then they said, "This is great, but we're going to fall into some mischief. We need to tell somebody what we've found." And that is a picture of the gospel, how that we're sinners, and leprosy is a type or a symbol of sin. But we find the goodness of God, and we begin to attend church, we begin to read our Bible, perhaps sit in Sunday school or something, and learn about the gospel, and learn about what God has done for us, and His goodness. We learn John 3:16 about how God loves us, and sent Jesus as a ransom for us. That's good for a while, maybe a month or two, or 6 months or a year or something, but then we feel in our heart that we have to tell somebody about what God has done for us. We've found the goodness of God. We've tasted and seen that He is good. But then we have to go and tell somebody what we've experienced. And I hope that you'll join us tonight at 6 p.m. And at the end of the program, there'll be a little commercial or something to tell you directions of how to get there. And as for Haiti, I really don't have any new information at this time to tell you. I had gotten some news a few days ago, and now I just get little bits and pieces. But as I get some information, I'll pass it on to you, both on this program and during the services on Sunday night. Please pray with me for these dear people. God loves them. God watches over every sparrow that falls. And God certainly cares for those people that are suffering. But let's get into the Word of God and see what God has for us today out of this chapter of the book of Daniel. We know in the first part of the chapter that the king Nebuchadnezzar woke up out of his sleep. He had seen this vision of an image, and he didn't quite understand what it meant, and he asked for an interpretation. The astrologers, the fortune tellers, the Chaldeans, nobody knew what the dream meant. But Daniel and his three friends, they had a prayer meeting and asked God what the dream was and what did it mean. And in verse 28, Daniel says, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." Notice that phrase, the latter days. Then Daniel begins to describe what the dream was, and then he gives the interpretation, which we'll get to in a minute. We have some evidence from what the king said, that he understood that the dream had to do with his kingdom and its fall. He didn't understand it all, but he knew something. If you read closely what his testimony was, he knew something was up. And Daniel here says that the dream has to do with the latter days, or the end times. And throughout the book of Daniel, you'll see prophecy. You'll see the future foretold. And not just any prophecy. But God foretells through this dream, through other prophecies and what have you, the future as it pertains to Israel. You see, God looks after the Jews. Remember that salvation is to the Jew first, and then the Gentile. Israel is the apple of God's eye. And as this chapter shows us, one day, Jesus will come back to set up his kingdom and care for the Jews. Christians think that Jesus is coming back for us. We believe in the rapture. And that is certainly true. But we're Gentiles. We're an afterthought. It says that Gentiles were not a people. The Jews were the people of God. Gentiles were not a people. We were not in the kingdom of God. And I'm very thankful that God didn't forget us. I'm very thankful that there was a place, as we studied in the book of Exodus, at the Passover table, at the Seder, there was a place for the Gentile if he would approach God. But the Bible is about Jews. And again, we have a Christian mindset, a Christian vantage point, and all of that is fantastic. I'm glad that I made it in. But the Bible is about the Jews and the salvation that God gives through Christ. Again, the King of the Jews. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." But he gives a description that I read. The head of the image, and this image was like perhaps a soldier or something of that nature. The head of gold. And then the belly and arms of silver. Now gold is a precious metal. It's a valuable metal. It's used for money and etc. Silver is also precious. It's also used for money. But silver is not as valuable as gold. belly and thighs of brass. Brass is also at times used for money. And this word brass can be translated copper, and obviously pennies are made from copper. But then the description says that the legs were of iron, and iron generally is not used for currency. And then the feet, part iron and part clay. So we have a progression in the beginning of the listing of these different elements. You've got the head of gold, and then the breast and arms of silver, etc. The metals or the elements or the materials get less valuable, but they generally improve in strength. Gold is very soft, silver less soft. And obviously brass and iron are stronger. But then the feet, part iron and part clay. There's a strength there, but also a weakness. Clay is obviously brittle and even less strong than gold. That's the description of the image. But the next thing that happens in the dream is a stone cut out without hands, it says, smote the image on the feet, or hit or landed on the image on the feet, and broke the feet, iron and clay, into pieces. And then the whole thing began to tumble in on itself. And the entire image was broken in pieces. But then it says a blast of wind came and blew the pieces away. The pieces had been ground into little bitty chunks, fine pebbles and dust, I guess. But the wind carried them away, blew them away, so that no place was found for them. But then the stone that came from heaven, it says it became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. But Daniel says that the dream in its entirety talked about the latter days, the end times, the coming of the Lord. But then Daniel gives the interpretation. And again, the dream was not described to Daniel. He had to ask God to give him the dream. And then God gave him the interpretation of the dream. But he says in verse 37, Thou, O King, art a King of kings. We know that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Thou, O King, art a King of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the fields and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. The description of the king and his power, and the fact that God had given him this power. But he says, Thou art this head of gold. Remember at the beginning, or the top of the image, these materials becoming stronger, yet less valuable. He says to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, as silver is inferior to gold. Remember that the king had an idea that his kingdom was coming to an end. And as he feared, God is telling him that his kingdom indeed will come to an end. Thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. I'm sure he felt a little bit comforted to know that the next king or the next kingdom was not as good as his. But still, his end is prophesied. And a third kingdom of brass, again a stronger metal, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it be broken in pieces and bruise. And then he talks about the feet of iron and clay. But in verse 44, And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom is foretold to fall, but God will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. We know that Jesus is coming back. We know that God will set up his kingdom. But then it uses the phrase, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. We understand that Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the fairest of 10,000s, King of the Jews, he came the first time, born in a stable. And he won our victory. When he went to the cross, he died a ransom for many, it says. But he left. After his resurrection, he went back to heaven. And he did indeed leave his kingdom to others. We're his ambassadors. We beseech you in Christ's stead, the apostle said. But one day, Jesus is coming back. One day, Jesus is coming back, and at that point, his kingdom will never be destroyed. It'll last forever, and he's going to stay. It says his kingdom will not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. All throughout man's history, he's tried to advance. He's tried to make it. He's tried to figure things out. I make my living off the internet. I'm a computer technician. Actually, I'm a system administrator, and I do a lot of things with Unix and Linux. Without technology, then I wouldn't have a job. I'd have to do something else. So I'm not against advances in science. I'm not against men trying to make things better. Certainly, we should do that. But the problem is that men forget God, and they set up their own kingdoms without the help of God. They try to establish things without God's blessing and without his help. But one day, Jesus will return, and he will set up his kingdom, which will not ever be destroyed. And his word will be law. He'll rule the nations with a rod of iron, it says. But verse 45, Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. It talks about a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. We know that Paul said that rock was Christ. The stone is a picture, an image, a symbol of Christ. And throughout the Word of God, you'll find a stone referenced. For I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Hallelujah, that stone is Christ. That rock was Christ, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But Christ is from heaven. The stone came from heaven, and it was cut out of the mountain without hands. Men didn't have a part in the coming of the Lord. Men don't have a part in salvation. Yes, certainly we can receive it. Certainly we can preach it. But salvation is of the Lord. If Christ hadn't come from heaven, to die for our sins, there would be no salvation. He's cut out of the mountain without hands. But his kingdom, it says, will break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. As we continue to study the book of Daniel, this message, a succession of kingdoms, inferior to the previous, and yet supposedly stronger. But in the end, Christ coming back and destroying or putting down all of these other kingdoms. This message is told again and again and again in the book of Daniel. God will use different imagery. In this case, it's a statue of a soldier. In other visions that Daniel has, it's a series of beasts. But again, this same theme you can find throughout the book of Daniel. But to give a quick overview of this telling of the future, the head of gold, Babylon. Babylon was a great empire, and it ruled what at that time was the known world. But the Medes and the Persians came up later, and they too ruled. But their government was weaker than Nebuchadnezzar's. Then came Alexander the Great, centuries later, to be sure. But his kingdom covered a greater area, and he conquered the nations with great speed, etc. But again, he had less political power. This is known as the Grecian Empire, or the Empire of Greece. But we know that after Greece came Rome. And the final part of this dream, the feet and toes, part of iron and part of clay. We understand that that's the kingdom of the Antichrist that will soon come about. At the time that Daniel wrote this, Persia and Greece and Rome and certainly the Antichrist kingdom were far future to him. Today we can look back and see that the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire and the Grecian Empire and the Roman Empire have all fallen. But there's one empire left. That's the kingdom of the Antichrist. He is yet to appear. But I've got good news. The stone from heaven, not made with hands, is going to come and destroy the kingdom of the Antichrist. And God's kingdom will last forever. And we, with him, will live forever. Old Paths Tabernacle is an evangelistic outreach of the Joey Kelly Broadcast. If you like good singing and good preaching and are looking for Sunday night services to attend, please consider yourself invited. If you're coming from New Orleans East Bank, take the G&O or the Crescent City Connection to the West Bank Expressway and get off at Manhattan. Go through the Harvey Tunnel and turn right at the red light, which is MacArthur. Go two blocks and turn right at the fire station onto 8th Street. Go three blocks and turn right. Old Paths Tabernacle is right on the corner, meeting in Waymaker Ministry Sanctuary, 804 First Avenue in Harvey. If you're coming from the Huey or Boutee, get on the elevated expressway, then get off at MacArthur and turn left at the light. Remember, our services start at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and I hope to see you there. Lord, take me back. Lord, take me back to the old land. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today, and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.